ಸ್ವಯಂ ಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಓಭಿಲ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡರಾಧಾ ಗುಣಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನ ಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿ ಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿ ಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಂಶಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನ ದೀನಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧಿ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೋ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯದೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾದಸ್ತ್ವನ್ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಶ್ಚಾರ್ಥೇಷ್ವಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯಾಂ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರ್ಯವ್ರತಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ದಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಗುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಗೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮಲ್ಸರಾಣಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸೋಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭೀ ತಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಸುಖಮುಖಾತಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ ಸಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇದವಿ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಮನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯಿನೋ ವಿರಹಗಾಧರಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೈರನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದೂತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅದ್ಯಾಲ್ಪದೀಪಮದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣುಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇರ್ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನಕ್ಕಣಿಗಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಗಾಭಿ ನಮಾ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದರೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷಾ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯಾದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿ ಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ಪಾದಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಳಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರದೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವದಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ व्यासेन कृतिदाम्बुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदडा चेद्रतजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेणवहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्णखलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशव पराशर्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकदा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतभङ्गजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मावरुणीन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वनुन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैक्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ज्ञानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द युवन्दप्रविश्यमोवाचमिमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्तगिरशक्तिधरस्वदाम्नाम् अन्यांश्चहस्तचरणश्रवणं तुगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं भूतेर्महद्भिरिमा पुरो विभोर्ब्रह्माय शेदे यदमोषु पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशाल्पकं सोऽलं कृषिष्ठ भगवान् भजांसि मे सो द फर्स्ट वर्स जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सुरय तेजोवारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्नास्येन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि. सो वि सॉ लास्ट संडे दैट दि त्रिगुणसृष्टि त्री मीन्स दैट three kinds of what mentions here yatra trisargo mrusha trisargam means triguna srishti from the three different modes right and also but actually three kinds of srishti spoken there one also refers to adhibhutam adhyalpam adhidevam in that way also it has to be understood right adideva means what we perceive through our senses that is adibhutam for example wealth animals trees that's all in the category of adibhutam what we perceive through the senses adhyalpa means in order to perceive them we require senses isn't it the sense objects what we perceive is adhibhutam and the tool with which we perceive them is the adhyalpam that means the senses it is through senses you perceive things sense perception it's called the objects of sense perception is called adhibhutam and the tools for sense perception called senses are the adhyatmam in other words just example the body our gross body is adhibhutam so but through the senses we perceive this body also only through the senses we perceive different bodies so senses are called adhyatmam senses are called adidevam so these trigunam adhyalpam adhibhutam adidevam and adidevam means the power of the senses to perceive the sense objects that's called adidevam so adhyalpam adhibhutam adidevam adhyalpam means sense objects Sorry, Adibhutam means the sense objects, Adhyatmam means the senses, and Adidevam means the power to perceive senses. Indriya Pravartaka Shakti. When senses wants to perceive something, it requires some power. That operating power of the senses is called Adidevam. The operating power is called Adidevam, right? So, Trigunam, the three modes of material nature, their transformation is this world. If we take everything in this world, it is nothing but three modes of material nature. It will come in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna talks about it. Trigunyal Bhinnavedam. There is no differences. Everything is three modes of material nature in this world. So, the whole creation is subject to this three modes of material nature and its transformation. The modes of nature and its transformation. So, the creation, which is nothing but a transformation of the three modes of material nature, is jadam. It doesn't have any reality. What gives life to that jadam, that matter, is due to Krishna's presence in that. We think this is the biggest misunderstanding in the world, actually, in the scientist and in us. We are thinking because we have got eyes, we are seeing things. Is it not? That's how we see things. Vedantam is saying, no, not because you have got the eyes you are seeing things. Because Krishna is present everywhere, that's why you are able to see things. Otherwise, even if you have eyes, you have the mind, you have still the objects, you may not be able to see unless Krishna is present in the object. And this is why Vedantam says, to recognize God's presence in this world, people ask this question, do you see God? Yeah, one who has the proper understanding, he knows that he is seeing something because of Krishna's presence in that. Otherwise you can't see it. You can't see anything in this world unless Krishna is present in that. It is due to Krishna's presence that we are able to see that object. I know it's difficult for us to, because we are used to thinking the other way. Isn't it? People think that because I got the eyes, haven't you got the eyes to see, they say. Scientists also believe in everything, everybody says that. That we are seeing things because we have got the eyes. No, because not because, even if you have the eyes, you may not see something, unless Krishna's presence is there in that. That is why you are able to see things, right? So, think about our own body, right? In this body itself, if I am this body, every cell in the body is growing and then it's dying also. New cells are created, right? And this process begins from birth until death. Continuously this is happening, right? And during the time when we are growing, at that time, the speed at which the cells are generated is much higher than the way it is destroyed. That is why the body is growing. Because the cells that's created is growing in number, and the cells that is destroyed is less. So therefore you are growing, right? And old age, the cells that are dying is faster than the cells that is growing. Therefore you feel the old age. This is how the body is changing. At one time, in the growing stage, the number of cells that is generated in the body is increasing, and the number of cells that die is less. And then after a certain stage, it more or less remain in a constant state in the middle age. And in the old age, the number of cells that is created in the body is reduced considerably, and then finally, at the same time, the number of cells that is dying is increasing. And when the When this stops, growth stops completely and the destruction becomes very high, eventually we die. We die, right? So, similarly, you can see the brain also, all the cells that is created, once they have destroyed, then there is no further generation anymore of the cells, right? So, at that time, the old cells get cells degeneration, they call it. And normal new one is created, but it stops at the end. So, in this way, because of the cells growing and cells destroying, constantly this body is changing. Constantly this body is changing. And in our body, when we were, say, 5 years old, none of those cells are present now. They've all gone. They're all dead, right? But me, who was in 5 year old body, and me now at this age, is the same. Is the same. Me is the same, right? But if you think in terms of the body, you have to say that I am not there. I'm gone. That me who was in the bodily level, who was there at 5 years, is not existing now. But me, the one inside, who says, this body is mine, that me hasn't changed. He's still there, right? So, similarly, all the cells that were present at 5 years is not present now, right? But the me who was present in 5 years and the me who is present now is the same. And that is our experience, is it not? So even though the body is changing continuously, I am not changing, and my body is changing. I am not changing, the body is changing, right? So, that me, that body that is changing, is not thinking that I am that body. Body is not thinking like that. I am thinking that I am this body, right? Body thinks this is the body and body changes and body goes, right? So, what is happening now? We are thinking that I am that body. And that is how all the problem begins from there. We are thinking we are that body, right? So, now I know that the me, that body, if I was thinking at 5 years, is not the same now. If I identify with the body, then I have to say the body is the same at 5 years and now, right? But we don't think like that. We know that the body has changed. And we don't even say like that, that I am the same 5-year-old person. We don't say that to anybody. I'm the same 5-year-old person. We know that the body has changed, but it's me, the person inside that hasn't changed. So, this is in relationship with the body. Even though the body is changing, I don't feel that change in me. I exist as an entity. I exist there, right? You take the case of the mind then. What is mind? Mind is nothing but thought waves, isn't it? A combination of emotions and thoughts. This is what is called the mind, right? And they come in the mind regularly, come up, and then they disappear, right? And our mind, we know very well that it is not the same that what we were when we were 5 years old. When we have grown up, and at this age, our power, our thought waves and emotions, which were there in the mind at 5 years, is not there now. Our mind and thoughts are different, isn't it? Right, so, and similarly, our thought power also has changed. Power to think. When we were 5 years old, we couldn't think much. We were thinking in one way. And now we think in a different way. So the power to think also has changed, right? And when you get very old, the whole thing will change again. The emotions and thoughts that was controlling your mind now won't be there at the old age. You will slowly start leaving them all. Because you feel that they're all useless. They're all meaningless. At 5 years, you thought something is very important. At 50 years, you don't think they are important anymore. In 50 years, you are something different as important, and different types of emotions you exhibit. But then you become 75 or 80, you think that they are not important anymore. Something else has come there in that place. So 75-year-old, 80-year-old person thinks differently. His priorities in life changes, and his importance factors in life changes, his emotions changes. Everything changes. So you can see how the mind is changing. Body is changing, mind is changing, right? So, but even though all those things are changing, I am not changing. I am still remaining the same. Me, the entity inside, who is thinking he is the body, who is thinking he is the mind, although body and mind is all changing, that person who is thinking that they are all changing, is not changing. He remains the same, right? So that thing that is inside us, which remains as it is forever, unchanging, and never affected by any of the changes that's happening to the body or the mind, that is our personality or vyaktitvam or individuality, what we call it. And that individuality or personality, awareness, cannot exist on its own because it gets its support from the Paramatma inside. Andaryami inside. Right. So, Adharam or the foundation for that. And that is whose presence is creating this feeling of all the individuality. So, this individuality, Jiva and Paramatma are closely connected. Jiva feels its existence, or individual feels its existence, due to the presence of Paramatma. If Paramatma is not there, Jiva cannot exist. So, this is how this subtle body and the Ahangaram, Jiva and Paramatma exist in the body, right? So, because Paramatma is there, you feel the existence, is it not? Think about it, it's very interesting. Because Paramatma is there, you feel your existence. And because Paramatma is there, the world is also existing. This is the logic in there. I am feeling my existence because Paramatma is there. In the same way, I feel the existence of everything else in this world because Paramatma is there as well. So if anything has to feel its existence, Paramatma has to be there. This is the conclusion of the Vedanta. If I am feeling my existence because Paramatma is inside, in the same way, everything in this world is existing because Paramatma is there, not because I got the eyes to see. Do you see the logic? Vedantam is a lot more subtle than what we think about it. Science will tell you because you got the eyes to see and therefore you are seeing, or you have got the senses or whatever it may be. You may have the eyes, you may have the senses, you may have the mind, everything, but you won't be able to see unless Paramatma is present in that. It is due to Paramatma's presence in this creation that we are seeing this world. This is the first point. That this is what Brahma told Krishna also. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam jagadidhaya. He says, whole jagat is because of you. Is it not? You remember Brahmastuti. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam. That whole creation is only because of you presence there. And this one thing, it makes the difference from all other. You can see how subtle Vedantam is compared to all other schools of philosophy. They don't understand this. That I am feeling my existence because Paramatma is inside. Paramatma supporting, because of Paramatma's existence inside, Jivatma feels that he is existing. Otherwise Jivatma has no life. Jivatma is nothing but a reflection of the Paramatma. So this relationship is applies to the world as well. The world is existing because Krishna is present in that. Existence is coming from always from Paramatma. Existence can, that quality of existence can only come from Paramatma. So, and it is only due to the presence of Paramatma that this body and the mind is continuously changing, and at the same time I am not changing, this feeling, isn't it? We know the body is changing, mind is changing, but we also know that I am not changing. Nothing is happening to me. Body is changing, mind is changing, but I am not changing. I am the same person when I was 5 years old, 50 years old, and even now I am the same person. So this kind of awareness in us is existing due to presence of Paramatma. Presence of Paramatma. Because I am this person, this awareness inside us, right? Pratiti or Abhimanam, that identification like that. We have that, we all have that, is it not? In reality we have that, right? That is how always in our awareness we are conscious that we are this person, living in this place. These were our parents, or this is the society, or this is the country I belong to. So there is some link there of me and all these identities, right? And drishya anubhavam. So that means that personality feeling, I am this person, vyaktitvam, or they call it as vyaktitva abhimanam, or personality, individuality, right? That is present only in the waking state and in the dream state, is it not? Isn't it? That I am this person, that awareness, is only present in the waking state and in the dream state. Not in the deep sleep. It goes away. Is it not? It goes away, right? So, not only that, the personality in the vacant state is not the same personality in the dream state. Again, in the dream state is different, right? For example, how the personality changes. Understand this. That, say you were a king or a big man in the vacant state, but you could be a beggar in the dream state. Isn't it? So how the personality changed? So personality can change. That can change from vacant state to dream state. In the deep sleep state, there is no personality. There is no personality, right? So, but, personality may change from vacant state to dream state and disappear in the deep sleep. But Paramatma, who is there in the vacant state and in the dream state and the deep sleep, is the same. All this is packed into this verse, Janmadhi Seto Noya. It's unlimited commentaries on that. This is all Sridhar Swami is based on, Sridhar Swami's commentary, all this is. That the existence of or individuality can change from vacant state to dream state to deep sleep. But this individuality is existing due to Paramatma inside. That Paramatma in the vacant state, dream state, deep sleep is the same. He doesn't go through any changes. Because if anything is changing, it's not truth. Something that doesn't change, that is the nature of the truth. This the definition of truth in the Vedanta. Something that is changing is not truth. If that is why Jivatma is not a truth in that sense. It's not a truth at all. Right? So, in the vacant state, as Jiva, I was a king or prime minister or president or whatever it is, and there is another me, which is the Paramatma there present, which is my real Surupam. But due to my ahankaram and due to my vasana and other things, I have got this false identity as Jiva, right? Say for example, I went to the dream state and in the dream, I am a beggar, right? So, at that stage, I feel that I am that beggar, is it not? In the vacant state, I was a king, but in the dream state, I am a beggar. I become a beggar there, right? So, from there you can see me in the vacant state and me in the dream state are different. But in deep sleep state, what happened? These two identification as me has gone. I am situated as the Paramatma in the deep sleep. I am Paramatma myself. Because the other Ahankaram has gone. This is everybody's experience, is it not? That all of us, when we go into the deep sleep state, what happens? Our Ahankaram disappears. Or Jiva Bhavam goes away. And we become the Paramatma there. It is dissolved at that time, right? So, but in deep sleep state also I exist. But think about that person in the deep sleep. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. That you think about that person who is in the deep sleep. It is at that time you realize who actually you are. You are thinking, in the vacant state you are thinking that you are separate from Paramatma. All your dealings, vyavaharam in this world, is based on that ahankaram in the vacant state, isn't it? So at that time you are separated from Paramatma. Your identification was with the ahankaram. And when you went to the dream state, you are identifying with another form there, the dream form of the jiva, ahankaram, and you are identifying with that. But in the deep sleep state, because ahankaram has disappeared, jiva has gone, therefore, you will understand who actually you are. You are not that ahankaram, you are actually that Paramatma itself. That is when you come to realize in the deep sleep state, right? And that is why when you wake up, you say, I slept very well, I didn't know anything, what happened in the deep sleep, which you may say when you wake up in the morning. Is it not? So this is our experience in a daily life. So I am not a person in that deep sleep state anymore, is it? Because there is no person there. Only experience is there of bliss, deep happiness. Deep sleep means that, isn't it? Very comfortable and very blissful existence. That's what it was. There is no person there. Like you felt in the dream state or in the vacant state, right? So, you know that in that state, everything disappears. You are not Krishna or Govinda or Narayana or whatever, Rama or whatever it is. There is no name there anymore. No person existing, right? And not only that, in that deep sleep state, there is no awareness whether you are a man or a woman even. Even that disappears at that time. Everything goes away. Body, senses, mind, and breathing, all is still there. The body is there in the deep sleep. Mind is there, senses are there, and the breathing is going on. And similarly, digestion is going on. Everything is going on. But senses are not operating. Everything is not working. Part of the body is working. Look, and who is organizing this? That's Paramatma. Paramatma's presence is sufficient. He has set it up like this, that all the senses will stop in the deep sleep. Mind will stop. Ego goes away. Intelligence stops. But he still makes sure that the digestion goes on, breathing is going on. What a mechanism this is. Imagine how complicated the system is. And this is this body, what we are saying, oh, we know everything about the body. What do we understand about this body? Nothing. Actually, the whole way the body works is such a complicated thing that still nobody will be able to say how it actually works. Because most science doesn't accept Paramatma or Jivatma or anything like that. But it is all, this is how Vedam says, without Paramatma's presence, Upanishads are always talking about this. That because without Paramatma's presence, this cannot operate like the way it's operating. It is working, right? So, senses are not working, senses are not working, but digestion is going on, breathing is going on, right? So, and mind is not working either, but digestion is happening. Just imagine, mind is not working, but digestion is happening, right? So, therefore, because it is like that at that time, we are not aware of the world outside. Because mind is shut down, senses are shut down. Therefore, outside world is not perceived, right? Yeah. So, in one sense, we don't even know about ourselves, is it not? Because at that moment we are not even conscious we are man or woman in that deep sleep state. Man, woman doesn't exist, is it not? So, even then, I am existing. I am not gone. I am still there, right? So, in that state, I remain as pure consciousness, bliss, absolute, Sachidanandam, I am, in that deep sleep state, right? And that this verse is saying, that is what you are. And that is spoken in a way, you see there, Tejo Vari Mridam, Yatha Vinimayo, Yatra Trisargo Mrusha, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhagam, Satyam Param Dhimahi. That Satyam, what is actually the Satyam is, that Satyam which is hiding behind everything else. Nirasta Kuhagam. Everything else is false, but hiding behind that is this reality. And how to understand that reality? By analyzing the three states of existence. Jagrata, Swapnam, Sushupti. If you analyze these three states thoroughly, you will come to this conclusion that the reality is different from all the other things. From the body, from the mind, from the senses, and the me who is in the vacant state and in the dream state, they are all ahankaram. If you eliminate everything else like that, what then remains, which is in the deep sleep, where you don't even have any identification with man or woman, boy or girl, or any other identification, whatever you may have, when you have dismantled everything, when you have taken out everything, what then remains, that is that Satyam Param Dhimahi. That Satyam, that is Paramatma, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. Right? So, that is my identity. That is what it's saying, right? So, that Sushupti state, actually we are in the Ishvara Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, that is, or our actual identity, we are in the Sushupti, right? So, remaining in our actual identity or Ishvara Swarupam, he is aware of what is happening in the Sushupti. Who? Paramatma. Paramatma is aware of the Sushupti stage, right? So, that Paramatma, which is Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, that is a witness to the Sushupti stage. He is a witness to the Sushupti stage. He is a witness in the dream state. He is a witness in the vacant state also. In all the three states, he is only a witness. Right? And that is me. Actually, that's me. Actually, that is me. Right? And it is that me who is present in the dream state as the witness and allows the dream to happen. Swapna Prabancham, it's called. The world we experience in the dream state is called the Swapna Prabancham. So that Swapna Prabancham is created by that me who is the witness, who creates that, right? And it is he who is aware of that Swapna Prabancham. That means Jivalma is going on in the Swapna Prabancham doing different things, because it's only in the dream state you can see yourself. moving separately from you. Is it not? In the dream state, you see yourself wandering around in the street, doing different things. That power is given by him. In vacant state, you don't see yourself. You need a mirror to look at, to see who you are. But in the vacant, in the dream state, you don't need a mirror. He is moving separately and you are seeing yourself. That. Why is that? That he has given you the power to do that. So these are the intricate things in the dream state, right? So, and it is me that in the vacant state, it is that Paramatma who is as a witness in our vacant state, observing everything, what the Ahankaram or Jiva is doing, right? And it is he who is present and allowing us to perceive this world. Allowing us to perceive this world. And that means Jagrat Prapancham, Jagrat creation is, we are experiencing it because of his presence. Because of his presence, we are experiencing in the Jagrat, vacant state world, the world of vacant state. It is because of his presence. The world of dream state, we are experiencing because of him. And in the deep sleep state, when everything is shut down, he is still there, giving us the experience of the deep sleep. You see the, how the system works, right? So, the Jagrat state, he is a witness. And he gives us that experience of the world. Experience of the world, right? And we always have these two personalities inside, right? That means in vacant state we have one personality and in the dream state we have another personality. Isn't it? See, in the vacant state, he is allowing us to perceive the vacant state. And then we, that is one personality, that means our Vyaktitvam, Jiva, he is experiencing this world, that is one personality. Then when you go into the dream state, what's happening? He is allowing us to come out from the Paramatma's form separately and exist. And then that personality experiencing the dream world is different from the personality that is experiencing the vacant state. See, in the vacant state, I have this identity, I am this person, right? And when I think I am this person, a person, whatever it may be, I am talking about enjoying things in this world, which is present in the vacant state, right? And I experience happiness, distress, everything in this world. Who is doing all these things? That individual. Personality, Vyaktitva Abhimanam, ego, isn't it? And that is my identity as Jiva in the vacant state. That means I experience happiness and distress in the vacant state. I enjoy the senses in the vacant state. I enjoy different sense objects in the vacant state. And all the sense objects, what I experience in the vacant state, that personality in the vacant state is me. It's me. That is the vacant state. And at the same time, I have a personality which is actually all these experiences, what I am experiencing, is happening due to his presence. That is the Paramatma inside. That Paramatma inside. And that Paramatma which is me, Atma Swarupam, my own Swarupam that is, that's me, is full of bliss and in the happy state, that Paramatma. This is nothing but those two birds spoken about in Upanishad, sitting on the tree. It's the same thing, spoken in a different way. Right? And and that me is Ishvara. who is present there as Ishwara. And Atmaswarupam, who is Ishwara, who is Paramatma, he is the witness of everything, and due to his presence only, the Jivalma is able to experience this world, and that Paramatma is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. Just to understand that inside us, in every body, all these things are present. Paramatma is there, Jivatma is there, and due to their presence, how they are operating together within us, right? It's a subtle thing, and science doesn't have any entry into all these things. They haven't got a clue what's going on. They keep saying so many things, they make their research and instruments and all. They have a success on that side of it, but the subtle sides of our life is unknown to them. They don't have a knowledge about it. Yeah. So, in this verse, Janmadhyaya Sedaha, all this is there in that. Yeah. Only thing is, unless you have gone through other books as well, and as I said before that, this Janmadhyaya Sedaha, Vedavyasa Maharshi took it from Brahma Sutram. Isn't it? He has taken it from Brahma Sutram to tell us that I'm not saying something new, I'm saying something what's already in the Brahma Sutram. And Brahma Sutram is something not new, it is from the Upanishads. Brahma Sutram is the mananam of Upanishads. And Bhagavad Gita is the nididhyasanam of Brahma Sutram, as I mentioned before. So, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, they are very close, connected each other. The truth spoken in Brahma Sutram, Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita is the same. So, if we understand in that way, and that thing Vedavyasa is saying, I am presenting it in this way, here, in this verse. That's all packed into this. He's saying in a different way. Tejo Vairimrutam Yathavinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrisha Dhamna Swena Sada Nirastakuhagam Satyambaram Dhimahi. He said the same thing in a different way. That's all it is. So the more you get absorbed and thinking about it, you will see why it is spoken in this way. Why is it the same thing is spoken in a different way, right? So he's saying that Atmaswarupam. Atmaswarupam means that when we are identifying with the Paramatma form, that is the Atmaswarupam. Atmaswarupam as a witness of everything and who makes this, all these things experience for us, that Chaitanyam or living force inside, that Atmavastu or whose presence everything is happening, that is the Absolute Truth. And that's our nature. That's our actual identity, right? So, it's only due to His presence and because Paramatma is present inside us, and due to His presence only because of that, even though the mind and body is changing, we feel we are not changing. Nobody feels that they are changing, isn't it? We don't experience that in our life, the change that is happening, isn't it? You feel the body is growing old, the mind is also changing, but something is inside us telling us that nothing is changing. And that is due to His presence inside. Paramatma Chaitanyam. That is, it is due to that you are not feeling the change. All these things is very good to sit and quietly analyze it within yourself. This is not to be captured by the intelligence only. There is an intelligence side to it, but apart from that you have to observe also what they are saying is in your own body and mind, and see that the mind and body has nothing reality with the truth. Truth is changing, everything is changing, but I'm not experiencing that change. Why? Why is that? I'm not feeling the change in the body. Body is changing, but I'm not experiencing in me that change is not affecting in that way. Isn't it? I'm not feeling that. I'm feeling the same existence. Even 5 years, 50 years and now. I'm feeling the same existence. Right? So, and that is our real identity. So, because in that Atma Swarupam or Ishvara Swarupam, due to His presence inside us, even though the body and the mind is changing, I feel that I am not changing. Body is changing. I agree, body is changing. Body is giving trouble. Body is having problems. Body is getting old. Body is getting diseases. But I am not getting diseased. The person inside, Atma Swarupam, is not getting diseased. Right? So, therefore, they are saying that, where Vedantam says like this, anything that is changing every moment, every second, or kshanam, every pradikshanam, right? None of them has any reality. Anything that is changing has no reality. So, and you cannot say anything that is changing has existence, because it's not real. This is another. This is the same thing in the Chalishlogi Bhagavadam, what Krishna is saying. If you keep Chalishlogi Bhagavadam, this verse, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and look at it, it's all spoken differently, the same tattvam. Second verse in the Chalishlogi, Hridayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda atmani, tadvidyad atmano bhav, yathavaso yathatama. That's what this is. Yeah? So, what he is saying is that anything that is existing, and if it is changing, that's not real. If it is changing, it's not real. Right? And you cannot say that it is existing and that is considered to be Maya. It's considered to be Maya. If it is real, then it should not change. It should not change. But at the same time, you cannot say that completely it doesn't exist. For some time it is existing. It's not that permanently it doesn't exist. It exists for some time. And it can be perceived through the senses. That includes this body. Right? And this whole creation belongs to that group. Constantly changing, perceived by the senses. At the same time, you cannot say it doesn't exist. It does exist. But it's not real. This is where the difference between Paramarthika Satyam and Vavaharika Satyam comes. Paramarthika means it's absolute. It has to exist all the time. It was never created and it will never be destroyed. So, at the same time, this world, even though it exists temporarily, you cannot say it is real, because after some time it will disappear. So therefore they say, this creation, from Shastram point of view, they say, you cannot say it exists or it doesn't exist. That's how the creation is, isn't it? It exists or it doesn't exist. You can't say either. Because it exists for only a temporary, for some period of time. It doesn't have a permanent existence. And because it was created, one day it will disappear. For these reasons, it's not permanent. So, but at the same time, it's existing at the moment. So, in this, from that sense, you say, you cannot say it exists or it doesn't exist. Right? And rishis will say this, anirvachaniyam, which cannot be defined, but it is a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam of what? Maya. It is Maya's ability to make us see this world in this way. Is it not amazing that she has created something and then she is making us believe that it is always existing? And right in front of our eyes, it's slowly disappearing also. But we are not able to experience it that way. We feel it is real, this world. And it keeps us like that. And sometime it takes away from us this body, and it takes away this world also from us. Anirvajaniya Pratibhasam, it is called. In the Rishis calls it like that. So, this world exists. That feeling what we get inside is because Krishna is present in the world. It's because of that. You see? Why do we feel like that? Even though Shastram is saying the world is not real, it's Maya and everything. That is where Ishvara and Maya come together. Because of Ishvara's presence in the world, even though it is Maya, we feel it is real. Because of Ishvara's presence, Krishna's presence in that, right? So, in the same way, I feel that I am not changing, but the body is changing. That feeling is also due to Krishna's presence inside. It is due to Krishna's presence in the world that we feel the world is permanent. We feel that, is it not? And we are working hard to maintain our life in this world. So many things we do. We organize our life. We try to maintain our assets or whatever it is in this world, family and all other things. We feel very serious about it. We become very serious about all that. And we get driven by everything. Because inside us some feeling that they are all permanent. Where is that feeling coming from? Paramatma's presence in the world. Just like Paramatma's presence inside us is not making us to feel the change that's happening in the body and the mind. In the same way, Paramatma's presence in the world is not allowing us to see the world that is disappearing from us, in front of us. We are not aware of that. We feel it is permanent. That is the power of Maya. That's the power of Maya. You see, if you study that Bharadopadesham, Bharada Rahugana Sambhadam, Bharada will explain all these things in very much in detail to Rahugana, to prove to Rahugana that you have got it completely wrong. Rahugana studied everything and Rahugana insulted in a way Bharada, isn't it? Made him to carry his doli or that palanquin or whatever that's called, and he carried him and he started speaking to Bharada in a very harsh way. And criticized, told him that I don't understand, you are so ignorant, and so many things he spoke, right? And then when Bharata decided to speak to Rahugana, the first thing he was telling him that you don't understand anything, he said. You don't understand anything. And these are the things what he has spoken there. Bharata has spoken to Rahugana there. That he is saying to him that body and the mind is changing continuously. But I'm not feeling that, experiencing that change. Why? Because Paramatma is inside. The world is changing continuously, but I feel the world is permanent. Why? Because Paramatma is present there. Just to get that point across, Rahugana, Bharata speaks to Rahugana like that. And after hearing Bharata for some time, Rahugana understood that whatever he thought in his mind, or whatever he understood from the books is all wrong. But to come out of this, there is a very detailed analysis in that, Bharata Rahugana Samvadam. Verse after verse he goes on hammering him about this understanding, that the reality or the permanent thing is only Paramatma. That is what is spoken from the beginning of the Bhagavatam. വദന്തി തത്വവിധം. തത്വം യജ്ഞാനം, അദ്വൈതജ്ഞാനം, ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി ട്രൂത്ത്. അതായത് അദ്വൈതജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് ദി ട്രൂത്ത്, റൈറ്റ്? സോ എവറിഥിങ് എൽസ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത് ആസ് ഫാർ എസ് ശാസ്ത്രം ഈസ് കൺസേൺ. They all come, they stay for some time, and then they disappear, right? So everything in this world, including this body, it gets its reality due to Krishna's presence only this body becomes real. Suppose Krishna has gone from here, Paramatma gone away from here, this body has no reality. I have no reality then. Jiva has no reality. If I consider as Jiva, I have no reality then. Similarly, everything in this creation is real because of Krishna's presence. Other than that is also not real. That's also not real. Because all of them were born at some time, it will stay for some time, and eventually it will keep changing, and finally it will disappear. Everything else, right? So, but because of Krishna's presence in that, you feel that it is real. So this feeling that something is real is only because of Krishna's presence in that, right? So therefore, Krishna is considered to be the truth. And that is the truth, what he's saying here. Satyam Param Dhimahi. That Satyam Param Dhimahi means this. By whose presence we get the feeling that we are existing, or we get the feeling that we don't die. Body is dying, we agree with that. But our existence is not over with the death. We still exist, even after death, we exist. So, even what do we say normally when we die? Oh, I don't know where I am going. This is what we say. We don't say I am finished. I'll say body is finished. But then I say also at the same time, I don't know where I will be in the next life, or I'll be where I'm going. I'll still say that, is it not? Why is that? Because within me I know that I'm not finished. That's why it is. I'm never finished. Only thing, my body is finished. Or my the mind has also changed. It's all changing, isn't it? Therefore you say it has no reality. But I am not saying that I am finished. I never get that feeling I am finished. Even if I am in the worst conditions with the disease and death and everything, I will still hold up and say, I am still there. Okay, body will go one day, disease has come, I am finished, body is finished, but I am not finished. I am going somewhere else. I am going to be there. So where is that coming from? That is due to Antaryami inside, Paramatma inside. Paramatma, that is our connection with Paramatma. This connection with Paramatma is like this, that never feels that we are dead. We never die, right? So in the same way, this world also is like this. We are feeling, oh, this world is permanent. When I came here, this world was there. When I am leaving also, this world is still there. So from beginning to end, this reality of the existence of the world is due to Krishna's presence in the world. Paramatma's presence in the world. If Paramatma is not there, this world is not, won't be experienced by us. When we say it is existing, means experience of that world inside. That experience won't be there, right? Therefore, his nature, who Paramatma's nature is, he doesn't change and he is present all the time, always, right? If he is not present in this world, we will never experience this world is existing. That pratiti perception is due to that. See, we see something, say a pot. The Shastram, that's the example mostly they use. Kudam. Kudam means a pot, right? Ghadam. So, khadam. So, we say a khadam, a pot we have seen, and we say to others, here is a pot, right? We are thinking that the presence of the pot that is felt, right? We think that that reality belongs to the pot. Reality belongs to the pot, right? But if you ask the question, is that pot real? Actually, pot is not real, isn't it? What is really there is this earth, clay, with which it is made. Because before the pot was made, the clay was there. You made the pot from the clay, and then when you smash the pot, it becomes clay again. So actually what is present there is the clay. Pot is a temporary situation with the clay, right? So that means the pot has existence only when the clay is there. Pot doesn't have independent existence. Astitvam, that's what's called astitvam. So pot doesn't have independent existence. It exists only when the clay is there, right? Which means that existence of the pot depends on the existence of the clay. Existence of the clay. Karyam karanam. The cause is the clay, the effect is the pot, right? So, in everything, anything that is created, you always have to look into the material with which it is created. Or that is where the five material elements coming from. It is from five material elements everything has been created. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, right? But everything that's been created from these five material elements, it doesn't have independent existence. That depends on the element with which it has been created, right? So, just like in the case of the pot, it's a clay, earth. Earth is the cause of the pot. So because of the earth, the pot existing, right? Now if you look this way, has the earth got its existence? Has the earth has its own existence, right? What this earth means? Bhumi, isn't it? Earth is the bhumi, earth, right? And what is that? Out of the five material elements, it's one of them. Who? Earth. One of the five material elements, right? So, its existence, this material elements, where is it existing? Material elements is existing because it has come from the material element called Bhumi. Bhumi is earth. Earth is, so, material element that is existing, changed form of the earth is this clay, is it not? Changed form of the earth. So, when five material elements, if you look at the creation, you will see at some point Bhumi dissolves in the water. When is it not? In the creation, dissolution process, if you look at it. Bhumi, earth dissolves in the water. Water dissolves in the fire. Fire dissolves in the air. Air dissolves in the sky. And sky dissolves in the consciousness, in the mahatattvam, ahantattvam. So, in that way. So, earth also, from there you can see, the earth also doesn't have any reality. Earth also doesn't have any reality. So, the soil, what you have used for making the plot, for making the pot, is dependent on the earth or bhumi. And out of the five material elements, earth is based on bhumi, this earth is existing. And bhumi also doesn't have any existence of its own because earth has come from water. Is it not? Earth has come from water. And water has transformed into earth. Water has transformed into earth. And earth is dependent on the water. Earth is dependent on the water. So it is dependent on the water. And it has come from water. It's dependent on water. And finally it dissolves in the water. No? Never forget the creation process. Huh? If you remember the creation process, it's much easier. Earth has come from water and it remains like earth for some time and eventually it goes back into water again. Right? So that, what does that mean? That means the existence of the earth depends on water. That means water becomes the cause and earth becomes the effect. Karanam, karyam. Right? Earth on its own has no existence. No existence. Right? Now you look at the earth. Has it got existence on its own? No. Because water has come from fire. Water has come from fire. Vedam says this. We saying, we want to extinguish the fire, we use the water. And if you say to the scientists that the water has come from fire, they won't understand it. They'll think, in fact, to extinguish the fire, what do you use? Water, isn't it? So science is saying that's not acceptable. Vedam says no. Water has come from fire. Water has come from fire, right? So, and it exists because of the power that it got from fire, right? That means its existence depends on fire, right? And eventually the water will go and dissolves in the fire. In the fire, right? So that means the reality of water is concerned, it's dependent on fire. Fire is real, water is only an effect. Fire is the cause, water is the effect, right? That means independent existence is not there for water. Just like we saw, independent existence is not there for earth. In the same way, independent existence is not there for water either, right? Because water doesn't have that independence because it depends on the fire. Depends on the fire, right? Now you ask a question, has the fire got its existence? Fire also doesn't have, right? Because its existence depends on air, vayu, isn't it? Depends on air because it's come from vayu. And vayu is the cause, fire is the effect, right? So it has come from vayu and it is existing, its existence is depending on vayu and eventually it dissolves into vayu. Dissolves vayu to air, right? So, tejas means fire. So, fire also doesn't have an independent existence because it's dependent on the air. Dependent on the air. Now you go and find out vayu has got its existence. Cause. No, vayu also doesn't have, because vayu has come from space. Agasham. Isn't it? Panchabhudam. Out of Panchabhudam, Agasham is the most subtle one. And it is from that subtle Agasham came the gross fire. Air. Air has come from that. So, Vayu is dependent on Agasham, or the space, or Agash, sky, whatever it is. So, because it has come from space, and it exists due to the support from the space, eventually it goes back into space. It dissolves there, right? So, that means, if you take away space, vayu cannot exist on its own. Its existence is dependent on space. So, keep the five material elements and see how one is dependent on the other, and eventually everything goes into space, right? So, and this space has come from Paramatma. From Paramatma, right? And it depends on Paramatma. And finally, it dissolves in Paramatma. The space, right? So that means, space also doesn't have its independent existence. It is like all the elements were dependent on one another. Finally, the space also is dependent on the Paramatma. Astitvam, Paramatma, comes from that, right? So, there is astitvam, or existence of the space, is coming from Paramatma. Paramatma means pure consciousness, right? So, independent of Paramatma, the space doesn't have an existence. Paramatma means pure consciousness which always exists. So, that was not created from anything. Which one? Paramatma. It always existed, right? And it has its own existence. It doesn't require any support of anything to exist. And it is not dependent on anything to exist, like all other things. Whereas earth, water, air, ether, fire, they were all dependent on something, each other, to exist, isn't it? And the world is dependent on these five elements. So, everything you can see, that one comes from the other, it exists due to its support from the other, and then it goes and dissolves in the same. And then same thing with another one, in that way, right? So, Paramatma or Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, Brahmam, these are the different names, doesn't have any cause for that. It always exists as pure consciousness. And is always present. It was not created from anything. It has its own existence and not dependent on anything. It remains like that forever, unchanging. Everything else is changing. Paramatma is not changing, right? So that means from five material elements, from earth, water, air, ether, fire, all that, all of them gets its reality, existence, or reality is from Paramatma. Paramatma's presence only gives them the reality. So, that means, when space was created, right, when it came out from Paramatma, in there, Paramatma was present in that space. Was present in that state. It will be present. Without Paramatma's presence, we won't experience the presence of the sky or the space. Space existence is experienced by us due to the presence of Paramatma. Paramatma, right? That means Paramatma joins with the space, therefore we feel the existence of the space. When Paramatma joins with the space, we feel the existence of the space. And that is the reason why we started feeling, oh, the space exists. The space exists. So anything that is existing and you feel it is existing, it's only due to Paramatma's presence in that. This is the main point to drive in. And if you ask us, prove it by your scientific experiments, you cannot prove it. Because this is where science is failing. Science has got this ignorant understanding that everything should be using their laboratory thing and testing equipment, and they have to prove like this in the laboratory. How can you prove this in the laboratory, this knowledge? This knowledge is beyond senses, is it not? Through senses you can't understand, you explain these things, but you can't experience it through senses, this knowledge. How will I experience that the water has come, earth has come from water? How will I sensually experience that? That's not possible. I have to simply accept authority of the rishis. They are telling us, I told all these things in the last time, that rishis have in a way, they are able to connect with the realized state, with Krishna. And they can also connect with this world at the same time. And in their realization, they have transmitted that message to us, and that is Vedam, and Vedam says this. It's only on the authority of the Vedam we are saying all these things. It is not subjected to your experiments, not subjected to your intelligence, not subjected to your testing or proving in the laboratory, no. All that you can forget it when you come to this level, this knowledge. In this state, the only thing you can accept it on the authority of the Vedam. If you accept the authority of the Vedam, Vedam is telling us that this is how it is. It is not subject to any kind of experiments or proof or analysis or anything, whatever you do in the laboratory, and to prove and to get a Nobel Prize and all this has nothing to do with this. This is outside that area. Outside that area, right? So, that pure consciousness, it's always existing, and it is due to his presence that sky is existing, right? Therefore, sky has become real because of the presence of consciousness in that. And that is why we felt that the sky exists, because of Krishna's presence in the space, right? In the same way, for air, for fire, for water, for earth, everything, its existence we are feeling due to Krishna's presence in that. Due to Krishna's presence in that. So, then, because of Krishna's presence only, all the five material elements got reality of existence. In the same way, because this world is created by these five material elements, we feel its reality also. Because the elements with which this world is created, Krishna is present in that. And due to that, we feel the existence of this world as well. That is what he is saying here. Tejo vairi mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo adhyatma jivodam adhidevam mrisha. Although it is false, dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam, that it is constantly denying its existence. At the same time, dhamna svena sada, he is present inside them, therefore it becomes real. Nirasta kuhagam. Although it is false, I feel it as real. This is the beauty of that. Although it is false, I feel this is real. Why? Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam. And that pure consciousness that is entered into this creation and making us feel it is real, satyam param dhimahi. To that satyam, I offer my obeisances. That Satyam or Chaitanyam or Paramatma or Brahmam or Advaya Jnanam, pure consciousness, I offer my obeisances. That's what that verse is saying. That verse is a very, I don't know how Vedavyas created this. He must have thought through so much to make it, put it in this path, to summarize everything like this. That all the Upanishad's knowledge about creation is in that verse. Tejo vairimridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. Everything is compiled in that one verse, right? So, here, everything gets its reality because of Krishna's presence in there. When we say Paramatma, Chaitanyam, Bodham, sometimes they will use the word Bodhasatta, sometimes they will use the word Paramatma, sometimes they will say Ishvara. Sometimes they will say as consciousness, in this way, whichever, or you can say Krishna. That is the same. Krishna is that. That's Krishna, right? So, if it is like this, how can you say that Krishna is not visible? Krishna is not visible. How can you say that? What other proof do you need that God exists beyond than this? It is only, this is how Vedam says that you don't need to go to somewhere else to find God. God is there right in front of you. All this presence of everything is due to Krishna's presence, you are experiencing it, right? So, if Krishna is not present like this, in this way, as consciousness in everything, we will never experience the existence of this world. We won't experience it. This is the important thing, right? So, the only thing is, this feeling of this existence of this creation, it gets its reality due to Krishna's presence in that. These ideas, you see, these thoughts, what is spoken in this, we should take it very seriously. You know why? Because when scientists are talking nonsense, something, if you want to cut through their ignorance, this is the power for that. Vedantists never get affected by the science. We get a lot of young people who come from the university, they get affected by the science, isn't it? Science is driven into their head that science is the only truth. Everything should be scientific, they say. But science, they don't understand, has its own limitations. At a certain point, science cannot go further than that. And that knowledge, that is why it says in the Vedam itself, pratyakshena anumityena yastu upayo na vidyade edam vadanti vedena tasmal vedasya vedada, it says. Vedam is that knowledge which cannot be understood by pratyaksham, direct perception, which cannot be found out by inference, anumanam, or by any other means, what you cannot find it out, that knowledge, edam vadanti vedena, Vedam will tell you. Tasmal vedasya vedada, therefore Vedam is the only authority. It is this verse in the Vedam itself. When I keep saying about authority of the Vedam, you are thinking it's like another book, like so many other books. It is not. Vedam's authority is coming from this. That knowledge that you cannot get through experience, or so experiments, or through laboratory, or research, or by speculation, or anumanam, or whatever it is, pratyaksham, anumanam, all these things. That knowledge, what is not available, is from Vedam, comes from Vedam. Now you can see the position of the Vedam, where Vedam comes from. Vedam is that knowledge, because otherwise we would have never, if Vedam don't tell us these things, how we will know? We will keep thinking the world is real, and we will keep accepting that world is permanent. We won't be able to explain anything in relationship with the world. Or we'll be able to explain anything in relationship with ourselves, right? So the whole Vedic knowledge is coming from a different angle altogether. It's saying to us, right? So, everything that has come from the material elements, they have all created all this world, different things. It stays for some time and eventually disappears. And therefore, because it was created and it stays for some time and it disappears, therefore it is called a mithya. That is why it's called a mithya. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya, isn't it? Brahmam Satyam means consciousness is truth, Jagat is mithya. Why is it mithya? Because it was created one time and it is staying for some time and eventually it disappears. Eventually it disappears. So, anything that's created, stays for some time and disappears, is not truth. Is not truth. Therefore, this world is a mixture of truth and mixture of truth and mithya, both. Satyam and mithya. Together, it's mixed. Satyam is Krishna in there. Mithya is the elements and all other things. So world is a mixture of both. That's what it's saying here, right? Satyam is Ishvara, Krishna. Mithya is the transformation of the elements. World is a transformation of the elements, isn't it? Five material elements. So it's a mixture of both is this world. The world is like that. Yeah? So five material elements and its transformation. In this way, Satyam and Mithya, we have to understand separately and we have to learn how to reject the Mithya side of it, the false one, and accept the real side from that. Satyam. Satyam to real from that. Because Krishna is present in everything, everywhere, in the form of reality. But that experience what we have, that it, all these things are existing, is due to Krishna's presence. Suppose I see something, I see this table, it exists. Why it exists? Because Krishna is present in this. Krishna's presence in that, right? But at the same time, Krishna actually is the one that doesn't change any time. It exists for all the time, always, right? That is why it's called Ishvara. Ishvara, right? And his identity is, that means pure consciousness, its identity is that it is real. It exists forever. And the vastu that exists forever in the same way, doesn't change and exists forever. And that vastu, that is satyam or chaitanyam. And whereas everything else is come from indriya pratyaksham. Everything what you perceive through the senses, they are all created one time or the other. See, is there a difference? What you are perceiving through the senses is all created at some time or the other, right? Or it's a transformation of different elements, right? And Chaitanyam or living force is not created. It always exists, right? And therefore it is beyond the senses. Because only what is created you can perceive through senses. But something that's not created, always existing, it cannot perceive through senses. Those things, right? So that is why it is beyond the senses. And that exists always without changing, and therefore it is called a chitta. You see this word chit? Satta, chitta, anandam. Isn't it? So when you talk about consciousness, pure consciousness, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, all this way, when we refer to that, that vastu or that identity is called Satta Chitta Anandam, isn't it? Sachidanandam, we say. Satta means that one which is the only thing that is real. It reality to it. Yeah? Always exist. Not subject to any change, but always existing. It was not created and it will never be destroyed. It will always exist. That is the Satta aspect. Right? And that nature in him, in that vastu, that it will not change any time. It will remain always fully conscious. That is the chitta. That is the chitta, right? Not only that, it says that it is always, that knowledge is always blissful. Very difficult to define the truth, isn't it? When you think about this, satta, chitta, anandam. Vedantam will call it as Asti Bhadi Priyam. Asti Bhadi Priyam. To that, if you add everything else called Namam Rupam, 5, it becomes 5, 3 plus 2. This 3 is part of consciousness. This 2 is part of Maya. Yeah? So this 3 plus 2 becomes 5. This 2, you have to learn to come out of the 2. Nama Rupam, name and form. Right? So, how do we understand it is bliss? How do we say that it is bliss? Experience from the deep sleep. That's a proof of that. So the experience of the deep sleep has taught us what? That it is blissful. It is blissful. That experience in the deep sleep. Right? So, because in deep sleep state, you are experiencing that blissful aspect of the soul. Blissful aspect of the soul, right? So, what do we want in life? We want that experience in the deep sleep all the time. Because it is only that experience in the deep sleep is coming from the soul. Coming from the soul. In the sense, it's not like the sukham dukham in the world, isn't it? When you are in deep sleep, have you observed this? That when you are experiencing that bliss or the happiness of the deep sleep, it was the same all the way through. And there was no interruptions in there. Of course, we come out from that to the wakened state later. But when you were in the deep sleep state, it was not fluctuating. It was always the same, constant experience of bliss. Continuously experiencing. Where it came from, we don't know. And when it taken away from us, also we don't know. Suddenly it's broken and we come back to awakened state again. But during that deep sleep state, maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it may be, It was not fluctuating. It was steady. All the time. Shanti, happiness inside. Isn't it? Unaffected by anything. Why? All upadhis have gone then. Ahangaram gone. Mind gone. Intelligence gone. Senses gone. Body gone. Everything has gone. And you felt pure happiness only. Your existence is happiness at that time. Bliss, in other words. Right? So, that is what we are looking for. Actually, that's what we want all the time. Right? So, our life, our goal is to get that sort of experience all the time. Wakened state, dream state, deep sleep, all will go, and constantly in that state of existence, right? State of existence. So, to explain that, Taittiriya Upanishad is saying, Atmanastu kamaya sarvamidam priyam bhavati. Yeah? Remember that. Atmanastu kamaya sarvamidam priyam bhavati. Actually, for the sake of happiness of the soul, that we are loving everything else in this world. Anatmavastu. Anatmavastu means which is different from Atma, from pure consciousness. Yeah. So, Anatmavastu, or everything that is separated from the soul, we have attachment for them only because of we have that love is coming from the soul. Love is coming from the soul. So, you know, we love so many things in this world. We say, I like this, I don't like this. Or I love him, I don't love him. I like her, I don't like her. All these things. In the world we think that there is something in him or her that makes him happy and therefore he is loving him or her in that way. That is the mundane way of seeing things, right? The spiritual understanding is that I am getting happiness which is coming from the soul, therefore I love him. Not because of him I love or here I love her. I love him or her because there is some happiness is coming from the soul. Therefore I say I love him or love her. But that is our misunderstanding inside. We think that I'm becoming happy because I see him or her, and therefore I love him, I love her. There is something in him or her that's making I'm happy because. Actually it is not. That's what it is saying here. That somehow you feel that if you love him or her, that the soul will be pleased. Soul will be pleased. Therefore, and that is the reason, a man loves his wife, a wife loves the husband, and similarly, you love, like your wealth, what is you created, what you have acquired in this world, everywhere you are feeling love towards everything what you possess, in one form or the other, all that is due to this Atmanastu kamaya sarvamidam priyam bhavati. If you understand that verse properly, then you can understand this, that you will see that all our conceptions are all false, based on falsity, right? So, from all these things, what do we understand? That ultimately, Atma is the most dear thing for anything else. Because it's Atma that is giving you happiness all the time, not the objects, isn't it? Everything is coming from Atma at the end, the happiness is coming from there. What was that? Because happiness is only present in Atma. It's not present in the dead matter or in another person. It's not. The happiness is coming from the soul. So permanent happiness is coming from Atma. Therefore, Atmanastu kamaya sarvamidam priyam bhavati. Therefore, what they say, that Atma alone is the whole goal at the end of life, right? And Atma's very nature itself is anandam. All the anandam comes from Atma, and Atma's very nature is anandam. Atma's very nature is anandam, right? And if you analyze Sushupti state well, you will understand this, right? So in this way, Satta, Chitta, Anandam. These three things is actually the truth. That is the Ishvara Swarupam and that is the Atma Swarupam. That is the Atma Swarupam, that is the Ishvara Swarupam. That is what he is saying here. So, when we talk about Krishna present in the heart, Krishna is present in the heart, we call him as Atma. When Krishna is present inside the heart, we call him as Atma, Paramatma, he is, right? And that is the only reality in this whole package. And unfortunately, we have came far away from that truth in different ways, identifying with the mind, identifying with the different emotions, thoughts, identifying with the body in that way. That's another topic, right? That's another topic. But what it's saying here is that is your identity actually. Which one? That Paramatma inside. That is your actual identity. Sachidananda Swarupam. And here it's saying here that Sachidananda Swarupam, who is present inside as your very reality, that is Ishvara. And let us offer our respects to him. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam, out of that Satyam Param, Sachidanandam. Satyam is the Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam is that Satyam. And in Upanishad it will say that Satya Swarupam, Sanmatra Swarupam. In this way spoken in different Upanishads, right? In different Upanishads, I mentioned before, that different aspects of this Sachidanandam is given importance. Not that the other two doesn't exist, out of the three. One will be spoken strongly. Like Chandokyam will say, Sanmatram, Sat aspect is spoken. And it will say that Ishvara or Atma is Sat, right? So therefore, there it is spoken as Satya Swarupam, right? In Brihadaranyam, it is Chit Swarupam, Chit side of it, awareness, Bodham, that is spoken there. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is spoken as Ananda Swarupam. So what you should do is, if you are want keen on these things, take these Upanishads and read it. And then you will find there that the Brihadaranya Upanishad is always talking about the Ananda Swarupam. Mantras in the Brihadaranyam will always talk about this Anandam aspect of Brahma. And Chandokya Upanishad will talk about the Satyam aspect of Brahma. And Taittiriyam Anandam, Brihadaranyam Chitta, and Chandokyam Satta. If you remember like that. I know you won't be going reading through Upanishads. You're not even reading Bhagavatam fully. Then where is the time to read Upanishads? Huh? So the problem is that these are very important topics for one who is serious about spiritual understanding of life. So that nobody able to shake your faith. Tomorrow you don't change your mind and say, oh, this is all wrong. I found some truth somewhere else. And these are the people who keep changing religion one day after another, who don't understand all these things. Vedam doesn't tell you, oh, you become or you go to hell. That's not the Vedic way. Vedic way is, this is the truth. Think about it. If you understand it, fine. If you didn't understand it, can't help. And people who don't understand it, they go after looking for some other book there is truth, where they found. If they couldn't find the truth in the Vedam, you think they're going to find the truth elsewhere? What an ignorant it is. Huh? So that's how ignorant people are in this world today. That they are saying that we there's so many gods you have and so many this and so many that and Maya and all that. It's all too much for them. They like the rule book for the traffic lights. A rule book, like if they give it to you, they are very happy with that. So they are the people who get into trouble. They get, leave Vedic dharma, Vaidika dharma, and goes after something else, thinking that they found the truth there, what they didn't find here. So this is the misfortune. So this can happen to anybody. If you don't understand all these things, and don't go through these things to some extent and understand that, then Upanishads is considered to be the ultimate authority. And they are not human made. That has come from the Absolute Krishna himself. Rishis have connected with Krishna and the world and gave it to us in this Upanishads form. And that is why, even though Acharyas may differ on basis of Advaitam, Dvaitam and all that, they accept the authority of Upanishads as the supreme. There is no disagreement on that. Nobody has disagreed on the authority of the Upanishads. Even those who are propagating Srimad Bhagavatam, they are also saying that this is the same knowledge in the Upanishads that has come through. If that way, if you connect Bhagavatam with Upanishads, you will find Bhagavatam also easy to follow through. And you will know which to accept and which to take it as or reject it, which you don't want, because there are sometimes exaggerations in Puranam, certain things, and it won't disturb your mind. Otherwise, if you simply depend on Puranam for your whole philosophy, then there could be problems. So, simple thing is that the Chandogya Upanishad still saying, out of the Satya Chitta Anandam, the Sat aspect is spoken strongly in Chandogya. The Chit aspect is spoken strongly in Brihadaranyam. And Anandam aspect is spoken strongly in Taittiriya Upanishads. Yeah? And they are all Upanishads coming from different Vedams, isn't it? So to bring it all together, it's a very difficult task. Unless one has Krishna's mercy, it's not possible to understand all these things in depth. Right? So here there is these three bhavam, Satya, Chitta, Anandam. You cannot break them up. Which one? These three. They are always together. Satya, Chitta, Anandam. Right? If one is there, the other two are naturally there. Automatically it's there. Right? So when they discuss, Chandogya Upanishad, only the Sat aspect, that means you have to always believe that there is Chit and Anandam there, because they are always together. Right? Similarly, when only Chit is spoken in the Brihadaranyam, you have to believe at that time, oh, everything is spoken in terms of Chit. That doesn't mean Sat and Anandam is not there. They are also there. Only thing is, stress is given to the Chit aspect. And similarly, in Taittiriyam, when they discuss Anandam aspect, you also have to believe that Sat aspect is there, Chit aspect is also there. You understand the difference between the three, don't you? Satya, Chitta, Anandam, what that means? Satya means that the reality of existence, always, Unma they call it sometimes, that means it's existence, that something is existing, that feeling. That feeling of existence, that is the Sat. And it is due to the presence, whose presence we feel awareness of everything. Sat is different than the awareness, Sat Chitta. Chitta is that avabhodham. Anandam avabhodham. Anandam is the bliss that you are experiencing, that is the nature of the soul. Avabhodham is the Chit aspect of the soul. For example, when in the pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, when Lord Brahma took away all the cows and calves away, Krishna expanded himself into calves, cows, flute, the sticks for tending the cows, cowherd boys, whole expansions happened there. Everything Krishna has expanded like that, isn't it? We say Krishna has expanded. Which side of Krishna has expanded? The Chit has expanded. Chit has expanded, and that is why Sridharajarya Swamiji says there, Chit Shakti has come. Therefore, he calls everything as Chit. Everything is called as Chit. If you look into those chapters, you'll find there. Everything is Chit there. Because Chit Shakti has expanded in this way. Krishna's Chit Shakti. Therefore, the flute is Chitta. The calves are Chit. The cowherd boys are Chit. The flute is chit, and the stick for tending the cows is chit. The chit shakti has expanded, and Brahma got confused because of that. Brahma is not able to realize, perceive it. He saw it like we see things, he saw things, and he got confused. The ones he has taken away is the real one, or this is the real one. To such an extent he got confused. And they went home, and when they went home, the mother cows, they feeling unusual attachment to their calves, who was nothing but this chit shakti has come in the form of the calf. That is why the mother cows started giving profuse milk that day to the calves. Unusual love for the calves. And the same thing happened to all the cowherd boys also, which was also expansion of chit shakti. And that cowherd boys, when they went home, the gopis were feeling unusual attachment towards them. For those boys, they didn't understand why it was happening. They are thinking, oh, my son has come home after tending the cows. And she was looking after, hugging and experiencing their happiness. Why? Because they were experiencing pure chit shakti that day. When this happened, this incident happened, right? And it lasted for some time, and Lord Brahma completely got confused. Even Balaram could not understand what was happening. That is how the power of chit shakti is. So the chit is a very important aspect. And as I said before, when chit is there, sati is present there, anandam also there. So they were experiencing, because it is pure chit shakti, they were experiencing the pure bliss also from that, pure anandam from that, right? So that's the, in this way, always unchanging, remaining like that, that pure consciousness from whom the satya chitta anandam we are, tattvamya jnanam advaya jnanam, that is Krishna. That is his swarupam. That is his identity, right? So, in his presence, only due to his presence that this whole creation is getting its reality. Due to his presence, right? Otherwise, on its own, it has no reality. It has no reality. Everything else in this world comes sometime, stays for some time, and it disappears. Therefore, it is mithya. Mithya doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's false. That's not the way mithya is understood. Mithya means it's not permanent. That's all. Right? Because Krishna is present in there, therefore it is existing, but temporarily. When Krishna withdraws from this world, its existence is over. Just like when Krishna withdraws from this body, its existence is over. In the same way, when Krishna withdraws from this world, its existence is finished. It's over. It has no reality anymore. So, if the world is getting some reality, it is only because of Krishna's presence. If I feel some reality, it's only because of Krishna's presence, right? So, then the question comes, is it possible that the fault of this world, does that not affect Ishvara? That it is temporary thing? How come it is not affecting Ishvara, right? So, answer is that whatever Ishvara is associated with, its character or its nature does not affect Ishvara, right? You see, to explain this principle is here. Dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhagam means that. If you understand the word by word meaning, then you will be able to relate with that. Dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhagam. Maya is kuhagam. Kuhagam means false, isn't it? Maya is false. Avidya, ignorance, ajnanam, all these words, right? So, because when Krishna is present in anything, due to its jnanam or knowledge, due to that, Krishna is existing in this world, even though this whole thing has come from Maya, Due to his knowledge power of Ishvara, he is able to keep that ignorant side of Maya away, keep Maya out of it, and able to manifest in this world. You see, the world is a mixture of Maya and Ishvara together, is it not? But Ishvara's quality is that Ishvara is not affected by Maya. When Ishvara is present here, you feel the Maya is real. That is the power of Ishvara. Ishvara's power, that is. Due to Ishvara's power, Maya has been kept out. Maya has been kept out. Maya is going to be discussed now, right? Because in beginning, in Ishvara there is only Sachidanandam, Satachita Anandam. There is no move inside him. There is no move inside him, right? And in that Sachidanandam, this unusual power called Maya has come. Remember this, Krishna doesn't change. If it's changing, it's not permanent. And that is as far as consciousness is concerned, pure Brahman, Krishna, Ishvara, in that way. Unchanging, but then from that the Maya has come. From there, this realization of Maya, right? So, when Maya came, if you ask the question, how did then Maya come from that? For that question, there is no answer. Nobody knows how Maya has come, right? And till now, no rishis are able to answer that question. The birth of Maya. Difficult to explain that. How Maya was born. Because all other things we saw there, which one, the material elements, how they have come from, you know, we look at the creation here, Ahangaram turned into three, Satyuga, Rajasa, Tamasam. From Satyuga Ahangaram, mind has come, Rajasa Ahangaram, senses have come, Tamasa Ahangaram, elements have come. So you can say the souls, everything. And we say that this comes from the other comes from the other one, like that. But when it comes to Maya, this problem exists. That it was not created. And it's also difficult to understand. But it is born in Paramatma. Paramatma's one energy called Maya has come from Paramatma, right? So, and it is a big secret, this birth of Maya. Nobody understands it, right? So, in this way, when that pure consciousness joins Maya, that Maya, once it comes, Maya's nature is ignorance, avidya, ajnana swarupam, right? And that Maya cannot cover Paramatma's knowledge. It can cover our knowledge, but it cannot cover Ishvara's knowledge, right? Maya is in his control, Ishvara's control, and he works under his control. Who? This power called Maya, which has come from Ishvara, which has come from Ishvara, right? Ishvara is not under control of Maya. Maya is under control of Ishvara, right? So, Maya's transformation is all these five material elements, this creation and everything, is Maya's transformation, right? And Ishvara only gives reality to it. Maya is transforming everything, and Ishvara is giving reality to that, right? And giving reality to that, and because of his presence, this what has come, Maya is created, looks as though it's real to us. So, but Maya is always under Krishna's control, under his control. And due to Maya, or due to the changes that is happening in the Maya, nothing happens to Ishvara. Ishvara is unaffected by that, right? And no problems come from that. Ishvara's knowledge, Ishvara's that state of consciousness is unaffected by that. And Ishvara when all these changes are happening, Ishvara remains as Ishvara, and he still remains as Satta, Chitta, Anandam, Brahmam, Akhandam, unbroken, right? And he is always conscious of who he is, and he is situated in his Swarupam, pure consciousness. That is Krishna. That's Krishna, right? So that means Swarupa Anandam, one who is experiencing his Swarupam all the time, that Swarupa Anandam is Ishvara's nature. Ishvara's nature. Maya is under his control, and everything that has come from Maya, Maya has created, is all under Krishna's control, Ishvara's control, right? And none of these things, neither Maya, nor the things that has been created by Maya, can have any effect on Ishvara. Ishvara is so independent also, right? In this way, Ishvara Swarupam is described there, and because Ishvara is independent of Maya, and independent of everything what has been created, therefore, he is called as Swarad. See that word, Swarad? That Swarad means that. We see the English translation is fully independent. And then we start thinking, what does this fully independent means? And we, in our own mind, we imagine something about independence. Right? Independence from what? That's a question, isn't it? Independence from Maya. That Maya doesn't have nothing to do with him. He's pure consciousness, untouched by Maya, whereas we are not Swarad. We are always under the control of Maya. And Maya is under control of Krishna. Krishna's control. So that is why he is addressed as Swarad, right? So, Maya is under his control, and Maya's transformation is all this world, all the jivas, everything, what we call this body, everything, right? And Krishna is not affected by that. So, and none of these things, what has been created by Maya, can change anything with Ishvara. Ishvara cannot be touched by any of those things. In this way, Ishvara Swarupam is discussed. Now, then the next thing is to understand Ishvara. To understand Ishvara, what can help us is Ishvara's activities. That is why Ishvara Leela, Sri Krishna Leela, in other words, Krishna's pastimes can help us to understand Ishvara. To understand Ishvara. That's where the importance of pastimes comes. To understand Ishvara, right? So, this Ishvara Leela, or Krishna's pastimes, in other words, right? Which is Krishna's glories, Mahima it is, Ishvara's Mahima. Because all his pastimes are seen like that, and that is his Mahima. Mahima means that his, glories, his glories, right? And that is how Leelas or pastimes are seen. And that is considered to be the Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam means, there is these things to understand. These words are important. Tatastha Lakshanam means, it will appear something and it will disappear after some time. That's why it's called Tatastha Lakshanam. It's not permanently in front of us. It appears sometime and it will disappear after some time. That's why it's called Tatastha Lakshanam. So, a special dharmam of that appearance, right? So, like this creation, you take for example, creation has been created, maintained, and dissolution happens. And if you define Ishvara in that way, that won't be enough to define God. In all other religions, that's how they define, that He created it. They keep on saying this. Who created the world, they say. And if you say, God has created, and then they are happy. If you see them talking about the way they argue, they'll argue that who has created this world? Say atheist comes to a preacher. Preacher, atheist says, I don't believe in God. The first question the preacher will say to the atheist is, who created God? If you are not convinced what I am saying, all you have to look into the Hyde Park discussions. Daily this is the same question keeps coming. An atheist is walking around and the preachers are also there. So the atheist will come and say to the preacher, I don't believe in God. You say, then the preacher will say, who created this world then? So the atheist says, I don't know, it is all, I don't have any knowledge of that, he says. I don't know anything. Then he says, if you don't know, I'll tell you. Then he starts his his argument. This is how the preaching goes on in Hyde Park. You always observe this. It's very interesting. Look at the level of understanding I'm saying. Where is Vedic literature? Where is this discussion? Yeah. So if you take in that way, that is that thing. That is not Ishvara Swarupa Lakshanam. Ishvara is not understood in that way just because he has created something. If you start thinking like that. Because the reason for that is, these people who are saying, who created this world, they don't realize it. There one day their devastation also there. I don't know what they believe in it, but they are not taking that into account because creation, maintenance, dissolution, and this avataram, avataram means these incarnations, none of them exist in devastation. Once devastation comes, what we call it as the night of Lord Brahma, at that time, pralayam or devastation, there is none of these things happening. There is no... that means that this creation, maintenance, dissolution and this incarnation, this is all Ishvara Leela. It is his Leela it is. That's the way Vedam says about that. That's the way Vedam talks about it, right? If you say that Ishvara is that person who is doing all these things, that itself is not complete as a definition of Ishvara, according to the Vedam, right? Actually, if you want to define Ishvara, you have to say, what is it, Ishvara? What is Ishvara? Instead of saying that he has created, he has maintained, and he dissolves it, or all these incarnations, by that alone, the definition of Ishvara is not complete according to Vedam. Vedam doesn't accept it because that way what will happen is everybody will say in this world, my God is real God. Your God is not. Because my God created everything. And my God this says, this hymn in this chapter, in this verse number, like our man says. He'll keep on saying, this is what everybody is doing in this world. You first remember all the verses, chapter number, verse number and the everything and say to the world that it is said like this. Because it's in my book, you have to accept that. And that man is saying, atheist is saying, I don't believe in your book. Then he gets more upset and then it becomes more heated. This will not get you anywhere. What Vedam says, just because he is creating something, he is maintaining something, he is dissolving something and he is incarnates in between, and he does a lot of leela, that alone is not sufficient to define Ishvara. Ishvara is defined, it says here, that Ishvara you have to define what is his swarupam. What is his swarupam? That means, Ishvara means it should be permanent, not temporary. Not temporary. And it is due to that power to able to exist permanently. That dharmam in him, it is through that you define Ishvara. You define Ishvara. That means, srishti, sthiti, samharam, creation, maintenance and dissolution, and avataram, incarnations, they don't exist during the pralayam times. Is it not? Only during the day of Lord Brahma, all the incarnations happen. And creation happens, maintenance happens, dissolution happens. But during the night of Lord Brahma or after Brahma's time, what is happening then? So at that time, you have to look at it this way, that you cannot say that they represent Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam, Tadastha Lakshanam, two things, right? So these things are all Tadastha Lakshanam. What we have spoken so far, before also, that Ishwara Leela, Ishwara Mahima, right? And that means appearing and disappearing. That is avataram, isn't it? Now and then appears and then disappears. Avataram it is. All avatarams are like that. Appears and disappears. They are all called tadasalakshanam. Srishti, Siddhi, Samharam, creation, maintenance, dissolution is all tadasalakshanam. But then what is important? Sridhara Swami will detail talk about this. Swarupalakshanam and tadasalakshanam. Swarupalakshanam is what is he then? What is he then? What is that truth then? And that is where he is saying here that avataram is not there in the dissolution stage, isn't it? Once dissolved, for a long period of time, till creation happens again, what's happening then? So that is also not his lakshanam, right? And swarupa lakshanam, it is not his swarupa lakshanam. So, sachidananda swarupam, sachidanandam, even when dissolution happens, devastation happens, even there, Sachidanandam exists. Consciousness exists even at that time. That means even before this creation came, even while the creation is present, even when the creation is destroyed, Sachidanandam exists. Pure consciousness exists. And there is no change in Sachidanandam. So Sachidanandam is Swarupa Lakshanam. You understand why Sachidanandam, Sachidanandam, we keep talking about Krishna? It's because of this. That it is not because of the form we call it as Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam is his Swarupa Lakshanam. Sachidanandam is him. Krishna is Sachidanandam. Why? Because neither incarnations, nor creations, nor maintenance, nor dissolution, they are all not his actual identity. They are all tatastha lakshanam it is. That means they'll come, they'll go. All of them. Come and go. But even when pralayam has happened and nothing is happening here, no creation, no maintenance, no dissolution, and also there is no avataram, incarnations, even then he exists. That is swarupam. And that is called, it is swarupa lakshanam. And that is satta chitta anandam. That's all it is. Sachidanandam is the swarupa lakshanam. Avataram, Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam is all tadastha lakshanam. That's why, if you understand, that's mentioned in that verse. But this tadastha lakshanam, that means the leela, different pastimes, and this srishti, creation, maintenance, dissolution, all these things will help us to understand Ishvara. It has got its own importance, not to leave it. It has got its own importance. So, in order to get to realize Ishvara, these things will help. Which one? These creation, maintenance, dissolution, and also the different incarnations. That can help you to get to realize that truth, Sachidanandam, right? So, they say that sometimes, not today, these days it's all changed, isn't it? Suppose sometimes in house, small children, they cry. They will insist they want something, very stubborn about it. And they keep crying for that. If you don't, sometimes they get hold of a knife and they say, we want this knife to play with. The mother knows that the knife, it will cut his fingers or something will happen. And she refuses. He keeps insisting, I want it. And so mother knows how to handle them. So mother will take the child outside the house. And if there's a moon shining in the sky, mother knows that if you show the moon to the child outside shining in the sky, the child mind will turn away from the knife, start thinking about seeing the moon. Just changing the page of the mind of the child, right? And mother is showing the baby, baby, look at the moon, she'll say. So, child gets a little confused first because its senses is not completely working 100%. So, child will ask, where is it? Meanwhile, the attention from the knife is gone. and started seeing something different, right? So she will point out to a tree and tell, look at the tree, look at that, can you see that? He says, the child will look at there, right? And in that way, slowly, mother takes the attention of the child to the top of the tree, a particular branch and particular tip of the branch, and eventually the child sees the moon there. So something new the child has seen and gets attracted to that moon straight away. The lost interest in the knife is forgotten straight away. The babies have got that nature, isn't it? We were all like that once. That one, something will come inside and it will disturb us for some time and it will go and something else will come and disturb us in that way. So that's what happened, right? So when that happened, and in the same way, when it saw the moon, it started get interested to see the moon. It keep asking for the moon, about the moon. In the same way, this Srishti Sthiti Samharam and all this Leela, all of them, you can hold on to that, and in that way gradually you can get to Krishna. Just like the baby was shown the tree first, and through the tree to the branch, and to the branch to the tip, and finally to the moon. In the same way, step by step, Srishti Sthiti Samharam, creation, maintenance and dissolution, and also these different pastimes are all helpful in finally getting to know the truth. That's the way it helps, right? So, in order to help us to get to Krishna, it is for that purpose all these things. Which one? Leela, and similarly the creation, maintenance and dissolution and all these things. And therefore they are called Tadasthalakshanam. Tadasthalakshanam, marginal it is, right? So, Janmadhyasya Yata, what it's saying is, the cause of all these things is Ishvara, and this is the summary of all these Veda, Shastra, Purana, Itihasam. Where it has come from, and depending on whom it is, all this creation is staying here, and eventually where it goes and dissolves, that is Ishvara. From where everything comes, in whom it all stays, eventually to where it goes and dissolves, that is Ishvara. That is Ishvara. And that is what Janmadhyasya Yata means. Janmam Adi Asya. Right? So, and this is the second sutram in the Brahma Sutram written by Vedavyas. Vedavyas creation is Brahma Sutram. The second first sutram is Athado Brahma Jijnyasa. The second sutram is this Janmadhyasya Yataha, right? And the same thing is taken from Upanishad. Where this Janmadhyasya Yataha comes? It comes, it is in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada has quoted that. It is one of the Upanishad's verse, spoken in three words. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. That is how it begins. Now, where is it? It is in the Prabhupada has quoted that. It probably you'll find in the index. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. I think it is from the Mandukya Upanishad. It is that words from Mandukyam is this Janmadhyasya Yataha, taken from there. Fine. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. That is how it begins. I think it is the seventh chapter. I think. It's there somewhere. Which verse? 7-6, is it? Yeah. 6. Now he has quoted the verse itself from the Upanishad. Yadova imani bhutani jayante. It comes. Never mind. I'll find it later. I'll tell you. So these things is there. That Upanishad mantram.
376 and 6.
Which one? Chapter number, verse number. Not page, verse number. Verse number. Okay, we'll look at it later. So, this Upanishad mantram, what is spoken in that, Yadova imani bhutani jayante, it is summary that verse, is this Janmadya Seyataha. That's right, yeah? So, this sutram in the Upanishad is the definition of Ishvara, right? And because it is defining like this, that you should not think it is the Swarupa Lakshanam. That, you know what that means? That means that Janmadhyasya Yataha means creation, maintenance, dissolution. That's the way it is going. Yeah? So, actually what is used there is Tatastha Lakshanam, not the Swarupa Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam is spoken there, Janmadhyasya Yataha. 7:10. That's it, yeah. 7:10, is it? Yeah, it's in the purport, yeah. Yeah, Yadova imani bhutani jayante. The supreme absolute truth is that from which everything is born. So, yeah, it is referring to bijam mam sarva bhutanam. My recollection is somewhere Prabhupada has quoted that verse completely. Maybe it is in the Bhagavadam then. Maybe it is in the Bhagavadam. Doesn't matter. It is from the Upanishad. Mandukyam, I think. Mundakam or Mandukyam, one of that. It has taken that. Yeah? So, important thing is that here, that is not Swarupa Lakshanam, which on Janmadhyas Yadaha. It is Tatastha Lakshanam is what is used in that. That's Tatastha Lakshanam, right? So, first of all, defining it by Tatastha Lakshanam. Right? And Tadasya Lakshanam alone is not complete of definition of Ishvara, the truth, right? It is not Swarupa Lakshanam, right? What it is saying is Janmadhyasya Sadaha is Prapanchakaranam. Prapanchakaranam, right? So Sachidanandam. Yes. Yeah, that same thing, yeah. Yadho, it is from the Taittiriya. The same verse comes in Taittiriya as well. Yadova imani buddhani jayande yena jadanti, that's the one. Yena jadanti jadani jivandi yat pravayandi abhisam vishandi tad brahma tad vijnana vijnana shuva. Taittiriya Upanishad 3:1. So, if you look into the chapter 13, it is, yeah? Verse 17 purport. At the end, that verse is quoted, yeah. Yavatova imani bhutani jayande, yena jadani jivandi, yat prayanti, abhisham vishandi, tad brahma, tad vijnana shuva. Meaning is the same, janmadhyasya yataha. Yavatova imani bhutani jayande means janmam. Yad jayanti jivanti. Jivanti is where it is, where it remains. Under him it exists, right? yat prayanti abhisamvishanti, where it all goes back at the end. So creation, maintenance, dissolution, what is spoken here, tad brahmam, that is brahmam, tad vijina vijnanaswa, that is knowledge, it says Taittiri Upanishad. So that's where it's coming from. That verse, it is in other Upanishads as well, and that is put here as Janmadhyasya, this word. So again, to show to us that Bhagavatam is not different from Upanishads. It is close connections, right? So, Swarupa Lakshanam or Tadastha Lakshanam, both of them, Pravanchakaranam is that even though that definition is there, that is not Swarupa Lakshanam, Krishna's definition, right? So, that therefore he is saying that this Sachidanandam is the nature of the truth, is the nature of truth. But this principle is not in agreement with all the acharyas. There is differences of opinion about that, some differences, right? For example, earth is there, right? And, oh, okay, leave that. Oh, one is cause for the other, right? One is cause for the other. Like for earth is a cause for the pot, right? In the same way. And that is what we call as the, what do we understand? It is simple thing. Anyoyam Vedregam. What does Anyoyam Vedregam means? When from pot has come from earth. Pot has come from earth. But without pot also, earth can exist. Earth is not dependent on the pot, but pot is dependent on the earth. This is called Anyoya Vedregam. Anyoya Vedregam, right? Pot is existing separately from the earth, right? That means Karya Avastha, Karyam Karanam, cause and effect, right? Karanam is the cause, effect is Karyam. Karya Avastha is Anyoyam, Karana Avastha is Vedregam. Means, pot is existing, earth is existing, from that pot is existing. This is called Anyoyam. But if pot is not there, earth can exist on its own, that is called Vedregam. This Anyoya Vedregam is throughout Bhagavatam, everywhere. Yes. So, you will have to keep applying this in many, many instances in future. It will keep coming. Anyoya Vedregam. We have spoken sometimes before that, right? So, Anyoya means always together. Pot is, the clay is there, pot is there. That is Anyoya. Vedregam means even if the pot is not there, clay can exist. Earth can exist. That is Vedregam. In the same way, Krishna is combined with Maya, it can exist. But if Maya is not there, Krishna can still exist. Anyoya Vedregam. In the same way, right? And they give example, you know, various ways to get this point across. Gold exists, and gold has got all the jewelry from that. Bangles, rings, and the chain, everything. Different forms, right? Jewelry, different forms. So, but in the different forms, in that state, all the time, gold is still there in all of them. Without gold, they cannot exist. They are different forms only, right? So, but if you melt all that different jewelry, it all turns back into gold again, right? Pure gold again. So there is no chain, there is no chain, and there is no ring, there is no bangles, any other jewelry, whatever you have made out of it, none of them exist. Only pure gold exists. So, so in order to ascertain what is the nature of that, all you have to do is that, what is that present in everything? Find that out, and that is Anyoyam. Anyoyam, right? So, everything that has been created from gold, gold is present in everything. There is gold. And in every small particle, there is gold present there. And when that form disappears, it will go back into its original form, source, where it came from, the gold, right? So, think about that, and that is Vedirekam. It's not difficult to understand, isn't it? Anuyam Vedirekam. Easy to understand. Something exists, and from there something has come. The thing that has come finally disappears, and the original thing what still exists. So when something has come from a matter, and it is called, like, just like pot and the clay. Clay and the pot. Pot has come from clay. That is called, so that means pot exists because clay exists. Because clay is there, the pot exists. That's called anuyam. But if you take the pot away, break the pot, but still clay can exist without the help of the pot. So therefore, clay, it is called vedirekam. Vedirekam. Without its help, it can exist on its own, right? So through anuyam vedirekam, they are able to establish the Swarupam. Sachidananda Swarupam is Ishvara. They are saying that it is through this Anuya Vedirekam they are establishing that Krishna's, Ishvara's form is Sachidanandam, right? But everybody may not accept that in the Veda, in the among the Acharyas also, right? There are people who have this opinion that Pravansa Karanam, that means the cause of this creation, is different. They have this opinion, very few people that, right? They are saying that Prakriti exists always and it develops into these forms, whatever we are perceiving now. And then why you bring an Ishvara into it? This is their argument, right? They are saying that if Prakriti can do everything, is there a need for Ishvara? Is there a need for Ishvara? They are saying, Prakriti can do everything on its own. There is another argument like that. That's a different way of thinking, right? But generally, everybody accepts that Prakriti is dead matter, jadam, right? And jadam cannot do anything on its own. It cannot even change its form. And jadam cannot function of its own, right? And there is no example for that. So, Prakriti is jadam, and if jadam is the cause of the Prakriti, then there is something in the Prakriti which is causing that particular vastu to come from Prakriti, right? But if you inquire in that way, it is ultimately again you have to accept Sachidanandam there. Alpa vastu is required. And in order to say that, Vedavyas don't agree with that. That's what I'm saying. Vedavyas is saying here, because even if you say that from Prakriti everything has come, there are people who believe in that, isn't it? Prakriti exists. Prakriti everything is coming. Nature, they keep saying. They don't believe in a power that is controlling the nature. That nature gets its power from somewhere. So therefore he's saying here that the power of the Prakriti also has to come from a source. Because this change that's happening in Prakriti, how is that happening? That is the question. And in order to prove that, what he is saying here, that has to be what they call it as Karana Pariksha, this way of analyzing it, right? Ultimately, you get into the same thing, Sachidananda Vastu. There has to be a thing called consciousness. This is how Vedantam establishes that. And that is what is mentioned in that word. Arteshu Abhijna. Arteshu Abhijna means that to establish that the changes are happening in the Prakriti cannot happen unless there is consciousness. So you can see this one verse, how much it carries with it, the message of to define the truth, how much effort Vedavyasa says pulled out from the Upanishads, right? So, as Chaitanyam, as consciousness, cause of everything and present in everything, and even when this manifested world disappears, he remains still as he is, and that Ishvara, he is Ishvara, Sachidanandam, and that is the cause of creation. That is how he establishes that. And Ishvara and Jadam, dead matter, cannot transform, cannot change anything, cannot think of its own, cannot operate on its own. Jadam Prakriti cannot think on its own and operate and cannot create a complicated world like this. It cannot do that. And it cannot transform in that way. It cannot transform in that way. If that is like that, then the question is that in this world you find two different ways. You say that Ishvara is present everywhere. Ishvara Chaitanyam. And then there is also Jiva Chaitanyam, isn't it? Jiva is also present in this world. We are all Jivas, aren't we? So Jiva Chaitanyam is present there. Ishvara Chaitanyam is present there. And so which of this is present in this world, right? In the form of this creation. That question comes. Ishvara Chaitanyam, which is present inside us. Jiva Chaitanyam is also present inside us. Ishvara Chaitanyam is a Paramatma. Jiva Chaitanyam is a Jivatma. When both are present inside. So out of that, which is the one that is present in the world outside, right? So these two things, Ishvara Chaitanyam and Jiva Chaitanyam, this has happened due to Maya. Otherwise they are not there. We feel these two existence of these two Chaitanyam, two living force in this world, is due to Maya. Before Maya came in, only Sachidananda Brahman was there. Satyachitananda was there. Maya, when it started appearing, it was at that time Ishvara and Jiva has come separately. You remember? Ishvara and Jiva is only due to Maya. This is the Vedantam's point. Otherwise, these two things don't exist. Because these two things we see in this world, all the Dvaitis will argue on this basis. They will keep saying that there is Jiva Chaitanyam here, Ishvara Chaitanyam here. They agree with that. But Jiva Chaitanyam is separate from Ishvara Chaitanyam. Vedantam says no. Vedantam is saying here that these two Chaitanyam, what you are experiencing here, is due to Maya. Before Maya, there was only Sachidananda Brahman, right? So, due to Maya's presence, Ishvara and Jiva has come. Maya has got, these things are so said before, Maya has these two power, Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. And when Ishvara joins with, when Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman, joins with Vidya Maya, it becomes Ishvara. When Sachidananda Brahman joins Avidya Maya, it becomes Jiva, right? So, which means that the power, Ishvara has got the power, it cannot be covered by Maya, Vidya, because that's why it's always in knowledge, right? And it, Vidya Maya is not a problem for knowledge. Avidya Maya, and when Vidya Maya joined, became Vidya, joined with Ishvara, joined with Brahman, joined with Maya, Vidya Maya, it becomes Ishvara. Avidya Maya, it becomes Jiva. Avidya Maya, it becomes Jiva. So, and because Ishvara is a creation of Sachidanandam with Vidya Maya, that is the reason he doesn't forget who he is, even when he has joined Maya. Because it is Vidya Maya, he has, Maya has these two sides. Because it is Vidya Maya with whom Sachidanandam has mixed with. Therefore Ishvara was born. Ishvara never forgets his identity, right? That means Swarupa Jnanam is always present in him, of his knowledge, right? Whereas with Avidya, Paramatma has joined and he has become Jiva. And Avidya covers his knowledge. Therefore, Jiva's knowledge has been covered. Jiva's knowledge has been covered. Even though he is Paramatma, but he doesn't know that. That is why we Jivas don't know who we are. Even though we are also the same what Paramatma is. Because we are covered by Avidya Maya, we have forgotten that. Our Swarupa Jnanam has gone, and not only that, we have become, because of avidya, identified with the body. And that's how bodily identification has begun, right? In this way, we have forgotten our actual identity, and we started thinking we are something different. That is this body. And due to that avidya, jiva has, we started this journey of called samsaram, material existence. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. It goes on. One body after another body after another body. And jananam maranam. In this way, we have fallen into this unfortunate, miserable situation. Accepting the body, rejecting the body. And in this way, because Swarupa Jnanam is forgotten, and we have become alpajnanam. Alpajnanam means useless knowledge in a very limited way. We have got something right. And our power is also diminished because of that. Not only that, we lost knowledge. We became ignorant. Apart from that, we lost our power, everything else. Alpa shakti, little power only we have got. And we don't have the power to create, maintain and dissolve like Ishvara has. All that power we don't have, right? Therefore, they say Ishvara Chaitanyam is the cause of this creation. Ishvara Chaitanyam is the cross of creation. Then if you ask a question, is not Brahma the creator? People can ask that question, you say Brahma is the creator, isn't it? So, yes, Brahma is a creator, he has got the power to create, but he doesn't have this knowledge what Ishvara has. Which one? Knowing who he is. That knowledge is not there in Brahma. Brahma has got this power to create. But Svatasiddha Jnanam, Svatasiddha means what's available for him by birth itself. That's what we find in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Brahma is lacking knowledge, then he is tapas, and then Krishna gives him the knowledge. But Svatasiddha Jnanam, that means by birth itself that knowledge is not there in Brahma either. Brahma has got the power to create, but Brahma doesn't have the knowledge by birth itself. That's why that's saying here, right? So, because Brahma doesn't have that knowledge, Ishvara has, therefore, that definition again, surad. Definition, surad there, right? Janmadhyase yatonvahaya nidharasa chate shabhijna surad. So, that is also shown by the word surad. Word by the surad. Means it is not Brahma, right? Brahma is not surad. Brahma is not surad. Svatasiddha jnanam. That means by birth itself it's present in him, that knowledge, right? Birth means that, of course, it is there in him all the time, that knowledge. In Brahma it's not there. Never it is covered. Swarupa Jnanam, self, knowledge of the self is always there. Such a person is surad. Brahma is not like that. Because when Brahma was born, Swarupa Jnanam was not there in him, right? And it is later on, from Krishna that he has received this. Who he is, isn't it? That is why it is said there, Tene Brahma Hridaya Ya Adikavaye. That only when Krishna gave it to him, Krishna means that Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, Brahmam. When it gave it to Brahma, Brahma got it. Before that, Brahma didn't have it. So that is why in the next line you see what it says, Tene Brahma Hridaya Ya Adikavaye. That he went into Brahma's heart and made Brahma realize who he is. So that means Brahma didn't have his own first. It was given to him. So that is why it is said like that. Right? So Brahma received this knowledge of self-realization from Krishna. And that happened by Sangalpam only. Krishna wanted it that way. Krishna thought like that, or Brahma thought like that. Just by Sangalpam alone, it manifested in Brahma's heart, right? So, what does that mean? It means that Vedam, Vedam means knowledge, isn't it? This is what Vedam means. That knowledge manifested in Brahma's heart by Krishna's desire, Ishvara's desire, or Ishvara thought like that, and it happened immediately, immediately. So, that means Krishna or the Brahmam, is also the guru for Brahma, For Guru also he is, Brahma also he is Guru, right? That means Brahma received the knowledge from Ishvara. Therefore, Brahma is not the cause of creation. Ishvara is the cause of creation. And Sachidananda Brahmam, Swarupam, Jagadishvara himself. And Jagadishvara, Krishna is that he gives reality to the whole creation, to everything in this what is created, and he shines in that way. And at the same time, he is present in all the living entities as their soul inside, Atma inside, and he is manifesting in that way as well. He is present in the whole creation, giving reality to the whole world as though it exists, and he is present in the heart of all the living entities as their very existence, as the soul. And that is how, and to that reality, we are offering our obeisances. That is how this verse is. You see how Vedam sees the truth? We keep saying, who is God? And then we fight each other. Who is God? Can you get a better definition than this? Every aspect is covered there. And it's saying here, Dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. So, with that one verse, Vedavyasa Maharshi begins Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is this one principle in different ways, expanded and explained in so many forms, to get this realization at the end in our head that it is spoken in this way. So we'll leave that today here. There is simply more few things that wanted to say about the how Bhagavatam has been, this particular verse in the Bhagavatam has taken by different acharyas and spoken differently, right? It goes a long way spoken about that. And we will not go to such a details about that. There is Sridhara Swami's commentary on that. And there is one Giridhara Goswami. His commentary is called Balabodhini. He talks about that. And there is a whole explanation to that, running into pages and pages about it. And he quotes so many quotations from different Upanishads to just explain this verse. And then there is Vamshidhara Goswami. He explains this in 100 different ways, this one verse, right? Vedavyas Maharshi said, Satyam Param Dhimahi. And he goes word by word and he talks explaining that. And again he goes into different Upanishads and as well as the different Puranams and explaining this in a different way. And it is so elaborate, this Vamshidhara Goswami's explanations. And that's why those who wants to understand it more and who are interested, for them it will be a topic. Those who are interested in that philosophical level to such an extent, it is such an elaborate thing, right? And he has this absolute truth. Vamshidhara Goswami says, it's all talking about Ganesh. That's the way he has commented on that. As Ganesh, he has spoken, right? And he has got Janmadesya Dhanvaya, this one verse, he has broken up into words, and he has found explanation to that in the form of Ganesh, everything. So there are so many things like about this verse to say. I think this is enough for us. We'll discuss Bhakti and Vedantam tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.